I've got some scriptures out of Matthew this morning. I want to talk about some things that I know this world we're living in. Or, I mean, you watch the news, and I know I say this a lot, but it just seems to be more and more and more pressure, more and more anxiety, more and more fear mongering, I guess you could say. And in Matthew chapter 6, verse 25 and 34, it says this, "Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear." I thought about this morning because I don't think I'm alone. I know I'm a guy, and I don't dwell over things that I wear too much. But it's like this morning it caught me and I chuckled at myself because I'm standing in front of the closet, got my clothes. I don't have a lot of clothes like some people in the house does, not mentioning names. And so anyway, I'm looking in here, you know, at my shirts, and I'm trying to figure out what shirt I'm going to wear. I'm like, it's just a shirt. What am I going to wear, right? And I'm sitting here and I'm debating on what shirt I'm going to wear. And I chuckle at myself because the shirt that I'd picked out to wear, I grabbed a different one because I was so undecided on what I wanted to wear. I was like worried about, well, I don't want to wear that shirt. I don't want to wear this shirt, you know, and, it, you know, about what you wear. It made me think about this. And I got tickled at myself. And it goes on to say, is not life more than food and the body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They don't sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? And why do you worry about clothes? There again, he hits it again. See how the flowers of the field grow? They don't labor or spin, yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the fields, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? So don't worry, saying, what shall I eat? Or what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. Man, that was one thing that just kind of hit me. Even the pagans. Now you think about, if you know much about pagans, even the pagans, that's what they run after. So, but seek first the kingdom of his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Man, what a powerful scripture, isn't it? You know, Martin Luther, the great reformer, I read this story about him, and he went through a really serious season of depression. Here the Pope was out to kill him, and his friends disowned him, and his cause of reformation was languishing, and he'd sunk into this very dark place, and he became depressed. And one day, his wife, noticing this, she came downstairs dressed in all black. She had put on her funeral clothes, and he asked her, he said, well, who died? And she said, God did. And he was angry. He got really angry at her and thought, how could she say this? And how could she now become and believe that God had died? And he asked her, who convinced you of such a lie? And she answered, well, you did. By the way you've been acting, you've been worrying and you have all this fear and you're discouraged all the time. So I just assume that God must have died. Wow. What a powerful story. I think a lot of us can relate to that story of Martin Luther. You know, some of us, not with our mouths, but with the way we live our lives, we deny the power and the authority of God in our lives. We act like God doesn't care, or that God doesn't have a plan. God has a plan. Even in times of distress, even in times of trouble, God has a plan. Jesus sets out to teach us here that fear and faith are mutually exclusive, and you can't have both. You hear me? It's an either or position, right? You either have faith or you don't have faith. It's one or the other. He says you either have faith in God, or therefore don't worry, or your faith is in yourself and therefore you do worry about everything. I know I'm guilty of that. I worry about stuff. I have to catch myself and I have to pray. As you know, if it's you, if it's me, if it's God, then we need to let Him lead our lives, right? It's like a treasure here or there. And what's your master? Is it God or things of this world? And a lot of times we have to choose who's in control of your life. It's either you or it's either me or it's God. We get caught up in all the things of this world and we worry about the things of this world. And God says, don't worry about that. So about today's worries and tomorrow's worries. In Proverbs chapter 12, verse 25, it says this, anxiety in the heart of man causes depression, but a good word makes it glad. I was reading some studies, and it said globally more than 322 million people suffer from depression. 264 million suffer from anxiety disorders, and many who live with both conditions. Studies found that such disorders cost the global economy $1 trillion in lost productivity each year. Can you imagine? Depression is the leading cause of disability worldwide and is a major contributor to the overall global burden of disease. The risk of becoming depressed is increased by all the world events, poverty, unemployment, life events such as death of a loved one or broken relationships or physical illness or problems caused by alcohol or drug abuse. Studies find this is the conclusive. And I, like me, I know you guys, have you ever laid awake at night, staring at the ceiling, thinking about tomorrow? I mean, I've done that. Thinking, I can't even sleep because I'm thinking about what I have to do tomorrow. It's really hard sometimes to shut down, isn't it? And to just have peace, right? I've talked about that. Just having peace in your life. And I'm telling you, this world we live in around us, there's chaos all around us. And it's chaotic, and life just gets burdened down even with the simplest of things, even sometimes with fun things. But life gets so busy and so tiresome that we can't break free of it sometimes and just shut down and say, God, I need some peace in my life. Help me not worry about these things. I think many of us this morning, maybe it's you, you're wondering right now about maybe a bill that you have to pay, or how you got a bad medical report, or you know, or a, maybe a broken relationship, or you know, there's all kinds of things that happen in this world. Many times we share those problems, But you can go to any group of people and you can start talking to them about what's going on in their life. And let me tell you, it's you'll find really quickly that people have problems. People have problems. Good people have problems. Sometimes we're not sensitive to that. Sometimes we're so focused on our own problems that we forget about other people's problems. Or we don't want to think about other people's problems because we've got enough problems of our own. Worry often tries to live rent-free in our hearts, I'll tell you. Matthew chapter 6, verse 34 says this, "So don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will bring its own worries. Today's troubles is enough for today." I think, what a statement. Isn't that a great statement? He's not saying life will be free from trouble. Jesus even said, surely troubles will come. You're going to have to deal with stuff. He's saying, trust me, though, in today's troubles and deal with tomorrow's troubles tomorrow. Because you can't change it. It's just going to be there, right? It's going to be there. Let me read that again. I want you to get this. I want you to leave here remembering this scripture. Don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will bring its own worries. Today's trouble is enough for today. So let's think about trusting God with tomorrow. And I think this begins with surrendering today to Him. Number one. And Jesus spoke these words during the Sermon on the Mountain. And that was such a radical sermon. We don't maybe think of that now, but then what he said during the Sermon on the Mountain was very radical. And it was this upside down kingdom message that they were not expecting to hear. And I think about the Greek words or the Greek definition of worry. It means this. It's to be divided, to be pulled apart in different directions. Man, that's a perfect definition, isn't it? Because I don't know about you, but there's been times in my life, and even as a pastor, I feel like I am torn apart in different directions all the time. It's like everybody wants a part of me here or there or here, everywhere. And worry tears our hearts between what is and what might be. We have a really big problem for the most part in what might happen, right? We make up stuff in our minds because it's what might happen. We do it to our kids all the time. Well, what if you get in a car accident? What if? It's always the what ifs, right? And we make things worse than what they really are by the what ifs or the what might be's. And I think a lot of times we let the what might happens or the what might be's rob us of what God is doing right now in our life. Because we're not seeing the good thing that God is doing right now today. You know, God's doing a great thing here today, this morning. He's doing a great thing. You know why I say that? Because God does great things, right? Sometimes we overlook those great things. You know, in America today, with our cost of living and all the pressures of life and the health care and politics and the cultural uncertainties, and I think it's relevant today that we address things like this. And we have to trust God now, today, and not worry about tomorrow. What was the old song that was saying, "I don't know about tomorrow, but I know who holds my hand," right? I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. None of us do. Life's unpredictable. Unpredictable. Things happen. Max Lucado, he said this in one of his books. He said, worrying is not a disease, but a decision. Worry is the dark room where negatives are developed. And I think that resonates deeply.
The words of this Bible.
Magnifies shadows, but faith magnifies God's promise, doesn't it? I think Max Cato's right there. I can't imagine. Can you imagine driving a car at night? I mean, we do that, right? With no headlights, right? I think that's what it's like not trusting God. It's like driving a car with no headlights. But when you do have the headlights on, it only reveals 50 or 100 feet in front of you. You don't see everything, right? But we still drive at night. We trust that little bit of 100 or 50 feet that we have, that's all we see. And it seems like that's really all we see with God. We only see this little bit that's right in front of us, and there's so much more. And that's why Paul could say, you know, folks, we see through a dark glass. King James says we see through a glass darkly. But face to face, one of these days, I'll get it. I'll understand everything. But when we're here, I can't see that far. I just have to trust him in what I do see, which is what's right in front of me. God's word's like those headlights, enough light for today, but trust him for each step that we have. And 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 8 says, and God will generously provide all you need. Then you will always have everything you need and plenty left over to share with others. I love this scripture. Paul writes here to the Corinthian church, and he's encouraging generosity. But his statement reveals something bigger. His statement reveals God's sufficiency. Because God is sufficient, right? He provides everything that we need. Maybe not everything we want, but everything that we need. That Greek word and definition for generously provide, it literally means this. Complete sufficiency. I like it. Contentment in God's provision. Complete sufficiency. That's what God does. Complete in your heart. I don't worry about tomorrow anymore because God is supplying everything that I need. I've got a shirt on today. You notice that? I like this shirt. Right? But God supplied it, right? He did. I believe that. God will provide not always what we want, but what we truly need. You know, if this shirt had holes in it, it wouldn't matter. God still provided it. It would still do its job, covering up something you guys don't want to ever see. Right? But that's what it does, right? It doesn't matter what color it is. Other than I wouldn't want to wear a pink shirt. I'm sorry. It's not my favorite color. Maybe. If that's what God provided for me. Whether it's strength for a trial or wisdom for a decision, or peace in a storm, or his grace is always enough. Amen? Charles Stanley said this. He said, God takes full responsibility for the life wholly devoted to him. Man, that's a powerful statement. And I would ask you this morning. Is your life wholly devoted to God? Is it devoted to him? Because it's either devoted to him or devoted to you. Right? It's one way or the other. He challenges the Laodicean church for that same practice in their life, right? You can't, there is no middle ground to this. Most of us want to have both one foot in this world that we live in today and one foot in the church or whatever. But he's saying, no, I want all of you. I want your whole heart. I want every bit of you. I don't want just part of you. I don't want just lukewarm Christianity. I want you to be hot on fire for me. And if you're going to be cold, then just there you are. He said that lukewarmness is just, I'll spit you out of my mouth. I mean, I just don't like it. So that there's no middle ground. God takes full responsibility, and he wants all of us. If you said yes this morning, if you are completely devoted, or maybe you're not quite there yet, but maybe today you want to say, you know what? I've not been completely devoted to God. And today I want to do that. Then don't worry about yesterday. And just today, from here out, live for God. Holy, right? Completely. We can't change yesterday. We can't really change tomorrow. That's why he says, just worry about what's in front of your face today and deal with tomorrow, tomorrow. There was once a missionary in Africa who prayed for food for his family and for his orphanage that he was running. And on the very day they ran out of food, a truck broke down outside their door carrying food supplies that were redirected to them. True story. That's no coincidence. Matter of fact, Brother Lee told this story years ago when he became a pastor. Him and Sister Lee had a young child, and they were living in the back of a gas station. That was their parsonage. Right? Pastored this little church up the street, and he'd come home from the church, and Sister Lee said, hey, we don't have anything for supper, and I don't have any money to go buy it. And he said he walked out the door with tears in his eyes, and he walked up to the street corner, and he was standing there at the stoplight, headed back to the church, or the stop sign, and he said, I was praying, Lord, I'm doing everything that you've asked me to do. Surely you won't let my family go hungry. And he said, about that time, this truck comes running through and makes the corner a little too fast. And a chicken falls off that was in a cage off into the road, and it kills the chicken right in front of him, right here in the street. He said, the driver stops by and says, hey, you want that, just take it home. He told that story. I believe that story. It's true. And God provided for him that day. Nothing wrong with eating chicken. That's no coincidence. God provides. That's providence on time, right? Luke chapter 1, verse 37, for the word of God will never fail. I love that. And with God, nothing is impossible. Remember that. Gabriel spoke those words to Mary. You remember that in the scripture? This teenage girl who was chosen to carry the Savior of the world. In the Greek phrase there, this phrase that he uses, meaning no word from God is powerless. That anunatio, that paratutheo, that no word from God is powerless. I love that. And I sometimes think we feel that our situation is too far gone, or the things in our life is more than we can handle. But let me tell you, God can take it, and he can handle it. He can take the strains of life away from you and give you a peace in your heart because we are secure in our faith, knowing that God has got this. That's what the disciples felt, even unto death. You think about the disciples who trusted God, walked with God, and you would think, why wouldn't they? You would think when they were getting drugged to be nailed on a cross or to be put to death, that they would say, God, I've done everything you asked me to do, and you're just going to let me die? Nowhere does it ever say in any of the writings, they said, they preached the gospel. They glorified God. That's faith. That's trust. I'm not worried about my life, whether I live or whether I die. Because if I live, I live for Christ. And if I die, that's my gain because I'll be in heaven with Jesus. That's the Apostle Paul's. But yet, this world teaches us to be worried about tomorrow. This world teaches us to be worried about today. And what, I mean, some of you are worried about what you're going to eat for lunch. Or maybe that I'm going to preach too long this morning. You know, God speaks promises to us. And those promises carry a lot of power. And it carries the power to accomplish anything that God says that you're able to do. You think about that. One thing that we're able to do, it's probably the biggest thing in the scripture. We're able to overcome. Jesus says, I overcame the world. And you can overcome it too. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 22 says, just as everyone dies because we all belong to Adam, everyone who belongs to Christ will be given new life. That's a promise. The greatest tomorrow is life in Jesus Christ. Amen? That's the greatest ever. And Paul, he contrasts Adam, the source of sin and death, with Christ, the source of life. And again, this new life, what it means is to make alive, to quicken spiritually. Just like that. And that's the greatest need in this world today. It's not money. It's not health. It's not success. It's not a new president. It's not any of that. The greatest need in this world today is Jesus Christ. That's what this world needs today, is to see Jesus is loving and kind and compassionate and gracious, but he's also righteous. Amen. See, without him, without Christ, tomorrow holds a lot of judgment, doesn't it? But with Christ, tomorrow holds eternal life, which means everything, because we're so caught up in that this is it right here, that this world is it, and we have to get all we can out of it. And the Bible doesn't teach that. Jesus says it's not about now, other than you need to get saved now. You need to come to me now. And you won't have to worry about tomorrow. Because when Christ becomes our satisfaction, the fear of tomorrow loses its grip. Because I'm satisfied in what I have, Because when you're satisfied in what you have, you're not chasing after something you don't. And because of Christ's resurrection, our tomorrow is not fear, it's hope. And I wish so many would understand that. So I would say, stop carrying tomorrow's burdens. Just let them go. Just give them to God and have trust Him. God's going to take care of you. God's going to take care of you. Place them at His feet. He says, cast all your cares on me and I'll take your load because my yoke is easy. Live in obedience to Jesus and don't delay. I would say that. If you're struggling with your salvation, or if you're struggling with your faith this morning, don't leave here without saying, okay, I surrender fully to you. I'm giving it all to you. I'm not leaving here like I came. Amen. I'm not leaving here like I came. I come to gather together with you guys so that I can leave here spiritually motivated to face the struggles and the burdens of this world. Because let me tell you, no matter what, when you're going to live in this world, you're going to get beat up. You're going to get smacked around because that's what this world does to us. And we need each other. Support each other. Pray for each other. And love each other. That's the one another's that Paul talked about throughout the scripture. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you always for this great group of people that you've put me with. And so, Lord, I just pray right now that they can lay aside all those worries of tomorrow and just focus on the today. And that today is living with you, living for you. That we put our trust in you wholly, fully committed. And Lord, let us come to this moment right now as the ladies come of communion, Lord, that we never forget the sacrifice that you made so that we don't have to live in fear, so that we don't have to live without hope. Because of what you did, we have hope. Because of your resurrection, we have new life, and that life is not just temporary, it is eternal. And when life is eternal, there is no end to it. It's forever and ever and ever. Time does not exist in your presence. Lord, we thank you. And at this time, I would ask, search yourself, search your hearts. Paul says that a person should examine themselves when they come to communion. And if there's things in their life that they're struggling with, or if there's offenses that have been made, that they make those things right in their heart. So, Lord, we set aside all the things of this world right now. We take a moment and we just block out all that stuff so that we can just focus for a moment on what your will is for our lives.